Recording.
I'm recording.
Good.
Oh, okay.
If you want to
record, hi,
you're welcome.
No.
Hi, all right.
No, I've got too many videos lately.
There you are. Yeah.
So, no, thank you.
Yeah. So how are your courses going, Nellie?
Amazing. Oh, I had an amazing video from Natasha, our Natasha. And it was a collaborative meeting that they had in their teams. Remember, I work on with teams. And it was amazing how these guys are working together, complete strangers, teachers mm-hmm. from around the world, on developing and learning. So it's really, I love it. That's what I like.
Back up and tell us a little bit about your course.
Oh, there's nothing special. I mean, it's just
it's always course. Special, Nellie.
No, I mean, nice. What's special for me, what's special is the participants collaborating and working together. That's doesn't matter what the course content is, the fact that they're working together is just it's just
learning
amazing.
Together, whatever.
Exactly. Learning together. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So thank you, fans, for doing it.
Daph down there. Last time I saw Daph, it was in Dania.
Oh, is she here?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm here.
Where are you?
Here.
Where are you now?
Oh, now I see you. Wow.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice to see you all.
Nice to see you, Daphne.
Virtual hugs.
I'm in Dania, Spain.
Dania, huh?
Yeah, you know that I believe in here.
Lovely little town.
Same place that you visited, fans. Yeah.
So nice to go out there and walking late at night and eating in restaurants. Is that still going on in Dania?
Well, not since a month ago. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been confined. Mm-hmm. And but well, Dania is still Dania. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking it patiently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to.
Being home, doing the things that I never have the time to do.
Uh-huh.
Ah, wonderful.
Reading, cooking, doing crafts, and doing power walk.
Power walk?
Yes.
In the house?
Yes.
In the house, yes.
In the house, you walk on coals in the house? The virtual or how?
Can you see this here?
Walk
not really.
McCoy.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yes, okay.
So it's like 4 miles in 45 minutes.
Yeah, and you do that in your house?
Yes.
And your house must be really big.
No. It's power walk is walking in place.
Oh,
you know.
And
you walk in place and you do other kind of exercises, low impact exercises. You know, like walking but stretching your arms, your legs, and in the same place. You know, just like two steps back, forward, to the side, and it's nice with nice music. So it's a relaxing 45 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can do that online with us. Yes. I'm serious. I would join you because I can't see myself doing it alone.
I was wondering what you do for the other 23 hours and 45 minutes.
Wait, cooking. I do a lot of cooking.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because I love cooking and I love eating. That's part of the culture. That's part of the culture in Spain. Sure, go ahead.
Are you the Daphne Gonzalez who was on Edunation for many years?
Yes, Daph Smirnoff.
We've never seen each other in real. I've always seen an avatar.
There you are.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, that's me. I'm not. I don't have red hair. I'm not a red hair. I'm not as tall as my avatar. And I'm not as skinny as my avatar either.
You don't fly.
Daphne used to be, for many years, she's been very advanced in teaching Spanish in world. Mm-hmm. She's done an amazing job. She was the first one to actually embrace that. But then she disappeared a couple of years ago. I never know what happened to you.
Well, I've been really, doing other things face to face, trying to do things to go ahead in life. And but now I'm, in this month that I've been in prison. Because we cannot go out
in prison, I guess. But
yes, well, we're all in prison.
Yeah, and here in Spain we cannot go out. You can only go to the supermarket or to the drugstore.
The same thing here in Morocco.
Yeah, so it's what I usually do is that I ask for home delivery for food. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just go down to take the trash, and I take the car and go around the block, trying not to have the police follow me. But and at my age, I'm not sure if I go into a hospital if they will give me a respirator if I need it, if there is a 40-year-old there. That's the reality here.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's so terrible. I better keep safe and sane and healthy.
Yeah. Well, listen, I want to ask, my co-host is here, Michael.
Michael,
who are we?
Isn't it late at night? Must be late.
You have these things.
Hello. Sorry, man. Hello, everybody. I'm not interrupted by several other voices, but that sounds like a lovely sound coming in from somewhere in the Middle East, perhaps. What did you ask me, Vance?
Can you tell us who we are and what we're doing here?
Well, I think that the email you sent out earlier explains it very well. We're just people who are living in the time of COVID-19, and all of us in one way or another are confined to our homes, and we're all finding ways of eking out the 24 hours that we have to endure before we get to another day and do exactly the same thing. And I just thought this was a really good idea to strike up these regular sessions.
Look who's here. Oh my gosh.
Kind of
Paula, look who came.
Hello.
Oh my gosh, haven't seen you in how many years? At least 7, 8.
Oh, hello.
Oh my gosh.
Hello.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
How are you?
Wow.
I think I left my mic unmuted. I really miss you all. Hi, Michael. Nelly.
Yes.
Daphne. Oh my God. Daphne disappeared exactly like how I did. Mubarak, how are you?
Yeah, bye.
Elizabeth, bye, how are you? Suzanne.
And Elizabeth. Elizabeth Ann is here. Anna. Wow.
Elizabeth.
Hi, Key. How are you all?
Nice.
Wow, this is a great meeting, Vance. Thanks. And Mike.
Yeah, Hala is
even wondering how to share their stories about what they're doing. When Daphne's just told us what she's doing. She's keeping fit and losing weight and running around her house and staying sane. What are others doing during the day? You can talk about professional practice if you want, or just really, how are you getting through the days? What's it like for you? Anyone want to talk about it? Just go for it.
We have a newcomer here, Sandeep. Sandeep, who are you? You've joined us. Tell us about yourself.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Sandeep from India. Actually, it is very interesting to tell you my day is just I'm spending in the house only. I'm confined in the house. I can't go outside. But I'm just using that time for the things which I had forgotten to do. In past, I wanted to just go through a few of the books like spirituality and all that. So, the same. And I've started really reading that book. So, I have a daughter. So, I'm spending most of my time playing with her. So, somewhere, the things which are very unprecedented year that are happening with us, and we need to just think about the novel things in which we can utilize our time, and I'm trying to search new things for that. Thank you.
Yeah, and Susanna had a really successful session a couple of days ago. Do you know who was there that we haven't seen for a long time?
Who's that?
Who? Guess.
Christina Costa.
No.
No.
Ah, Christina Costa. Would be nice. Yeah. There's a B.
Guess.
Mm-hmm. Ah, B was there.
Yeah. B. No, B, no, not B. B is coming next week.
Not B. Oh, okay. Yeah. Doris? No, we've seen I see Doris all the time. No. BU starts with a BU.
Okay, she's
Abu Sain.
Evelyn.
Lena, yes.
I see Evelyn. Evelyn and I are in touch all the time. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. No, yeah. Buthena was there. So
she was there too? Buthena. I haven't seen her for a while.
Yeah.
Well, face to face since 2011, I think.
Yeah. So it was really nice. Nice. She actually, if you read the learningtogether.net event, you can read all about that. But it came from another meeting that Susanna held with Rostamov. What was it? Was Ibrahim Rostamov? Yeah, in Tajikistan. And some other people I didn't know. But anyway, I don't know. Do you want to tell us more about that, Susanna, how that came off? You were going to tell that story last
Ramona Dietrich, uh-huh. And Ramona from Portugal, Ramona okay. Dietrich.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you had some students with you, or no? It's just the
yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Yes. The idea was an interview mm-hmm. from my students to a webhead mm-hmm. each time to show how we are living this quarantine. And my students were really amazed. They say, wow, teacher, we are opening the class to the world. Well, it was a fantastic experience. We are from a boarding school in the middle of the country. My students learned to how breed animals like cows and pigs, that sort of things. And they don't have a good internet connection at the school. So it was a possibility because they were at home. And we had classes through this fantastic tool, through Zoom. And I invited teachers to my class to have an interview, a very, very simple interview. What are you missing? What are your plans for the next future? And it was amazing, amazing, absolutely. So thank you for the possibility to tell you. Hi, Sus.
Hi. Hey.
Wow, everybody's here. Fantastic. Well, waiting for more experiences from you because you are the great webhead people here. All of you.
All of us. You have to say all of
all
us.
All of us. Thank you. Thank you, Vance.
Yeah.
Well.
So, Elizabeth, you didn't get to say much last time. How are you doing in Grenoble? Unmute. Don't forget to unmute.
Okay, yes, I'm going.
It's good netiquette to mute yourself when you're not talking, and when you are talking, you have to unmute. She'll work it out. Yes. There you are.
Good point. Yes, I said I was just trying to sort out my background because it was very good on the phone and it's jumping all over the place here. So sorry for the disturbance. I've got a thing going with my grandchildren. So my two French grandchildren with whom I've never spoken English, there was a very active demand for English lessons, please. And first one, which was worked so well for a week, his little brother asked to join. Now, a little brother who is 9 years old and has never spoken English, I must admit, I'm finding it quite difficult because I've never taught children. Everyone I taught had 11 years English behind them. So it's quite an experience. So that makes a regular appointment twice a day, once for one and once for the other one.
I'm sorry, but otherwise, I can't hear you anymore. I can hear nothing. I don't know.
Can you hear me?
I'm hearing you fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Very clear.
Chris, oh yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, apart from my grandchildren, and then of course buying a mountain of chocolate because it was Easter, and we always celebrate Easter. And I'm not quite sure what to do with that now.
Yeah, I had Zoom videos with my grandchildren on Easter, so birthdays and things like that. Chris has put something in the text chat. Let's see, it looks like I'll just paste the... I just now opened the text chat. I see, I don't... The last thing I saw was Chris was there. Chris, you wanted to tell us about this link, Oxford Dreamers Bookshelf?
I think it's a very generous offer from Oxford University Press to parents, students, teachers. If you use Oxford Learners Bookshelf, you can just download 148 readers that you can use any time in the next 3 months. I think the offer expires at the end of June. Really a fantastic offer. You can listen to the readers as well as reading them. I've had a few problems downloading so many readers on my little Android tablet. It hasn't succeeded in downloading them, but on my iPad it has. And on the web, it works perfectly. So I now got, you know, a huge number of readers, that many of which I've read already. I think Thomas Robb would be interested in this as well. Pity he's not here.
Yeah. So these are readers for English as EFL students, that kind of reader, graded readers.
Readers from Oxford Press.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of booksellers are making offers like this. Maybe I can find the, putting them in, if you have things like this to share, I'll give you a link where you can put, you can paste things into that. It's a Google Doc that anybody can write on. I'll find its link. And I'll paste it there, and you can write on it if you like. I don't know if anybody's seen what I did with Talon. Did anybody looked in any of the Talon sites lately? Did you notice any change? The Facebook group or the it's tinyurl.com/Talon2020. I made an interesting change, but I'm not going to tell you about it. You'll have to find it yourself.
And can I just ask
I'm not sure if you hear me. I don't hear you anymore.
Oh, I hear two people. I hear two people.
I'm sorry. I have to leave and try to fix my problem with the audio.
Oh, well, you're probably, we hear you fine, Mubarak.
We hear you fine.
Can I interrupt here, please?
But he didn't hear us.
Who's that?
OUP, the Oxford University Press, because I've attended a webinar 2 days ago and it was really beneficial. I added the link to the chat area. They do have, interestingly, they do have synchronous teaching, which is coming tomorrow, a webinar, but it's live teaching. They also have webinars, you know, about engaging students in reading and very, very official, beneficial webinar. So if you'd like just to put it on your calendar. Right. The link is.
If you want to put links in the text chat, we will. They'll be put into the archive of this.
Yeah, I did. BLT. Mm-hmm.
Could I just ask you again about this Oxford Learners Bookshelf? Because there's many sort of links on that website. Do we sign up? Do we download the app? Do we sign up with a code? Or how do we get to these 148 readers? Chris, if you could explain, that would be great.
I've got different apps on different devices, but you can do it simply on a web browser. Is all you have to do is to sign up. It's completely free. You get a few free samples for you to look at anyway. And then normally you would be buying books and you get access codes to buy those books. But with this special offer, it will automatically download the 148 readers. Obviously, it doesn't download the content, it downloads the pictures of the readers, and then you download the ones you want to listen to. But it's all completely free, pure altruism, I think. Maybe it'll help people find out about Oxford Learners Bookshelf.
And the readers, do readers means that they come in Kindle format, or do they come in PDF, or how do they come? Do they come into an app? What does that mean, readers?
Read an app. You can do it with your web browser. And in fact, on a computer, that works extremely well. When you download the books, it keeps track of where you are in the book. You can make notes, audio notes or text notes, and you can get it to read aloud. So, I mean, for any learner of English, it goes from A1 to B2. Sadly, there are no readers for the higher levels, but still, for a lot of people, that could be a very useful tool.
Is it for young learners, Chris, or for adult learners?
I think there are some for young learners, but as I've never taught young learners, I didn't look into it.
I would be interested in young learners if anybody knows of any such programs for kids.
Oh, I mean, you've nothing to lose. Is all you're doing is signing up, giving your email address, establishing a password, and you can access it, all completely free.
What I found very useful for the 14-year-old is the videos on the British Council site, Videos for Kids. They have a series of 2-minute videos, and then they give you the text. And there's some excellent ones, Florence Nightingale, Newton, things like this that, did actually work very well. And well, the only two I've done so far. But it was the advantage I found was it was 2 minutes. The other sites I tried always 6 minutes long, and that was just too long.
Okay, be sure and share the links if you have them handy.
I would like to tell you that I've managed to create an account, and I'm there for the one who asked about their young learners. I'm just reviewing Alibaba now. And I think it's really worth it, even for your grandchildren a little bit, because what I can see now, there is a recording here, there is an audio, and they can even adjust it, the slow and normal and fast. They can repeat the sentences. I think it's amazing. Thank you very much, Chris. This will be very helpful for my daughter and my students who are teaching at primary level. Thank you.
I've sent it to my my daughter for her daughter, because I think it's really useful for kids.
Can I share my screen, because I just managed to get access to this 148 books and I think it's amazing.
Yeah, go for it.
I just signed up here, and this was the bookshelf before, and then came a prompt, 148 books for free. And this is what I got just here at the bottom here, all of those. Alibaba, 40 Thieves, Last Chance, The Cat, Hercules, then Oxford Readers A1, A2. My goodness, this is amazing. William Thank Kate. You.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
Look at that. This is incredible. It says expires 30th of June. And Gandhi, Hound of Baskervilles, and these are the 140. Wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, it is. Thank you, Chris. But I hope they extend it, because I think that in many schools in North America especially, they're not thinking of going back to school until September. So June or July is not enough. You would need it to the end of August, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll reconsider. Yeah.
You're in that.
Well, that's already. Yeah, that's the plan. I don't know what it's like in Europe. Any thoughts, or I don't know, have you heard anything about Europe when they're planning to go back to school?
Well, we had the Minister of Education denying terribly strongly that it wouldn't be September, but that September was still on the table. So I think it's going to be September too. The problem was that in Germany, where they have managed it so well, I saw that when they tested the population of a hard-hit region, only 10% of the people were had the antibodies. So it was such an effective shutdown that not enough people had a minor version of the thing. I'm not quite sure where we go from here.
I don't know, because they're saying now that it's coming back. There's a recurrence. So I don't know.
Well, I've just read today a report that is to be published, 39 pages of a group of 26 experts in the field, from economy to science, psychology, and what have you. It's called Lupoldina Report, and they're going to issue some recommendations on how to go back. And they're saying that they would recommend that schools, that the secondary schools go back after Easter. They should go in smaller groups, like up to 15 students. And then they all should sit 2 meters apart, and make sure that just that group sort of stays together. And then they all should wear a mouth mask when they go to school. They don't recommend kindergartens to go back to school, because they say kindergartens are less likely to be very firm with their mouth masks. So it should really be those who are secondary, like who go back to college, also soon doing the exams for college and everything. Yeah, that's, yeah. Suze, what did you want to say?
Yes, in Denmark, they are sending back to normal, even preschoolers, even the little ones, age zero, and until grade five, that is, what age are they, 11 or 12. The parents are very confused about directions, are very unclear. To begin with, they said, our prime minister said, they would want all children to go back, no matter if there was any contaminated people in the household, or if there were people with other conditions being at risk. And now they have made it a little more selective, that parents could decide they would not send their children to school, because it's going to be a mess. It's really going to be a mess. They are not opening up everything else. That means the children are going to be in front of taking in the contamination risk. We are told that children may not be very ill and they may not very easily be contaminated, but who really knows what is the truth? We don't have evidence, and we don't really know what to think. And for the time being, they're very, very busy preparing schools as they're going to be in smaller groups and having more space, and there must be more cleaning happening all day long, and they are busy buying, they are renting pavilions with toilet facilities so that you can actually ask children to go and wash their hands. I have an interesting historical view on this. In 1928, there was built a new school, a very big school in the outskirts of Copenhagen for 1,500 children. And there was a department for children who were at risk, at a health risk. They were going to put 144 children in this, they called it the outdoor school because they were going to be a lot of the time outdoor. But they were having 144 children and they were installing 144 hand washing devices. So the meaning was all the children can wash their hands at the same time. Today they may be sharing, I don't know how few hand washes there are, but it is really, really shocking. Which means that the hygienic standard today is very low. All those things that we learned years ago to take in have been neglected or forgotten or slowed down because of the economy. And I think that's very thought-provoking. We'll have to reinvent the public education of the hygienic standards.
I think you're right. Another thing I think is that the classes are too big.
Yes.
I'm talking about younger children, especially with 40 kids in one class in many, and even more in other parts of the world. So you're right. If we're going to change our way of living, I'm not just talking about the corona, we'll find a solution to that. There'll be something else in the future, I'm sure. It's not going to be the last so-called episode. So we should have smaller classes, pay teachers more, and deal with things today, you know, instead of waiting for another outbreak. Why wait around when we can start planning now for the future?
Well, Vance has been asking what people have been up to these days. Last week, I couldn't join because I helped 190 lecturers of a university to cope with 55 Zoom rooms to all teach online. And there was a couple of things interesting I found that they at the moment are trying to cope with. A lot of them, honestly, they don't have a content management system or a learning management system in place. So if they can cope with Zoom, it's one thing, but then they try and establish some online space to collaborate in. And they're asking the students to sign up on Teams, on OneNote, on Google Drive, on G Suite, on Miro, on Mural, and you name it, the whole lot. So that was kind of interesting to find out what they're trying to do. Really great lecturers indeed, but it's a chaos. Anybody else has interesting experiences in this online period?
I share with you that it's chaos. With teachers, my fellow teachers who've never used technology, most of them have never used technology, and many of them are against it. They were against it, and now they don't know what to say, like as if, you know, they're trying to find out who they really are in this age. So yeah, chaos. I would say chaos, and I would agree with Sue that governments also don't know what they're saying. They're saying one thing and then another, and nobody's seeing. So I think we're all in the same boat. no matter where we live, we're all facing, I mean, us as educators, we've been using technology for years, you know, for over 20, 30 years. We're seeing the same thing wherever we are. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, whatever you say, I'll say, right, same thing in my territory, same story. So I have no idea, you know, why everybody's fussing about being home, because, you know, those of us that sit in front of the computer for hours giving online conferences and so on, you know, this is like, okay, so what's new? Or, you know, okay, I'm not able to walk, you know, or and run 5 kilometers. I can only go, say, 100 meters, and I have to stay away from anyone, which is horrible. But other than that, you know, we're going to continue with this for another maybe 3 months. So I don't know how you feel about it, but it is kind of scary when you think that you're not allowed to go out, you're imprisoned, and you'll get a fine, like in Spain and Italy and in other parts of the world. You get fined for going out. So you can sneak out, but they're planning to find ways to catch you, you know, and not by cart, from the air. So.
And personally, I thought we are lucky. We're lucky to be in online, or have been online for a while, because if I didn't have this job that keeps me really busy, I would go crazy. I would go crazy about the news. I would go crazy about this confinement. To be honest, I'm experiencing a lot of really, really great things at the moment online, such as this meeting. I mean, people I've not even met. And so thank you, Vance, for organizing this just right in time. Yeah, really wonderful.
Me and Michael.
Wonderful, you both.
I want to be sure and hear from everybody. And Lane has joined us. Lorena has also asked to speak. So, but I'd like to make sure we get Lane, because she's talking tomorrow. And if you're coming tomorrow, she needs to tell you what you need to do. So let's hear from Lane. Hi, Lane.
Hi. I don't know. I just woke up. I woke up and I said, oh my God, I have to get there quick because I'm presenting tomorrow and I should.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not going to be worth much, but I do have a couple of things quick to say. First of all, hi, Daph. How are you? I haven't seen you in 100 years. One of my mentors. It's great to see you. I learned so much from you back in the day.
Come on, we've learned from each other.
But what I wanted to say is there is some pre-work. You all know what pre-work is from flipped learning? So I don't do webinars anymore unless there's a pre-work aspect to it, because I think people get a lot more out of a webinar if they've had a preview, and I have a preview of who they are and what they think. And so I put those links in the PB Works page. I added them.
I just put the link now to that in the tech chat.
So because last time someone taught me that, oh no, wait a minute. Did I put an S there? I get so mixed up whether there's an S or not after the HTTP, because they didn't turn into links. I put a bit.ly and a not bit.ly, because somebody said in certain countries a bit.ly doesn't work right or something. But the pre-work is very short. It's not long. It consists of some questions. Well, first there's me saying hello. It's here I am. You already know me, but some people don't. So I do that. And then I have questions, just a very few, just to get some things going. And then there's a little video. That's the other webinar. I'm sorry. I'm mixing up my two webinars, because I do have another one where there's 10 tips in 10 minutes, how to be a good how to be a successful online learner, 10 tips in 10 minutes that I did for my students. But that won't, that's not tomorrow, but I can get you that anyway. I can give you that. But anyway, there's a, it's just a short pre-work. And then the last piece of the pre-work for tomorrow is a choice of two articles, very short. They're like blogs. So two short articles, and you get to pick whichever one you want to read, and then you give me a takeaway from the article. Because I always think it's important to give people choices and not just tell them one thing to do. So pick whichever article you want and give a takeaway. That's the pre-work. So I may have messed up the links. I'm not a good, like, every little detail type of person. So, but I think that's the link. You have to be that kind of person, right? When you give a link. Anyway, it's about my synchronous on, I'll stop in a second. It's about my synchronous online flipped learning approach. It's, I call it SOFLA. So it has an acronym. Some of you have already heard this before because I mentioned it last Monday. But I'm a real believer in synchronous, largely because of Vance, because I learned from him the value of webcam and audio and being a real person online. So I give a big, big pitch for synchronous because most people drag their feet and say it's just not worth it. So I do that. And I hope you join, but if you don't, just watch the recording. You don't have to watch it. But I made it at 10 in the morning for you guys because I prefer late in the day because I teach at night all the time. So my schedule is very late. I teach tonight at 5 o'clock my time. Mm. What is it now? It's not even 9 o'clock. I teach in 8 hours. Is that right? Or whatever, so many hours. And so my whole life is late. But I made this webinar because it's for you all over the world. I made it at 10 in the morning, which is about as early as I can actually be a teacher.
We okay. really appreciate it.
Can I add to the marketing your session? I've been to the session last week and it was amazing. Thank you very much. I've learned a lot. I really like how you, is my voice clear?
Yes, it is, Hala.
Yeah, I'm trying to put some light on my face, but because I'm at the balcony now, we had rain, and usually we don't have rain, you know, fans. So when it rains, we just run and dance under the rain. So your session was very helpful, and the title is very catchy. So I think this is what triggered my just I have to be there. Yeah. I like Thank the steps, you. And I like the interactivity. The poll, you put the poll and you and the suggestion.
Oh, I need to ask you that, Vance. If I have polls, I have four polls. Who puts polls in your room? Because it's your room.
I think you can do it, but if you want to arrange them be in advance, I can try to do that.
I can do it, but I have to do it. I can't go in now and do it, right? I mean, I have to do it right before I present, right?
I'm not sure, to tell you frankly.
You share the link and then but you share the link, the participant have to click on the link, they go to the other platform, if it is Quizlize or Google Form, and then they come back. But as during their taking the poll, you can see that how many participants are doing that. So you can even tell them, I can see only two or three. Come on, guys, go and take the poll. And it should be very short, of course, one or two or three questions. That's just my two cents.
Do you have polls in your setup, in your options?
Me?
Yeah, do you see them at the bottom of your screen?
You
mean you want to add them now to the room? Is that what you want to do, Lane?
No, I think before tomorrow, right?
Well, not now, but I mean when I come in the room, the last time I was in someone else's room,
yes, I
had a problem because I couldn't run my polls.
I do, underneath, and under more. Do you not have polls yourself? Can you find under more? Where the
I have them in my room, but we're using your room. So.
Yeah, I know,
but you need to make us mod. A host, like a mod, you need to make us co-host.
Only the host sees, or the co-host.
Okay,
I can make you a co-host for your meeting tomorrow.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll get together on that.
And then you can get it in advance. You can go, I think she can go in advance to go into the room if she's a co-host.
Uh-huh.
You can make her a co-host in advance. She can go in, set up the polls, and then you can you can be there beforehand. He doesn't have to allow you to come in.
Okay.
Like he does with us in the waiting room.
Yeah.
While we wait and wait and wait.
And wait. I'm sorry about
And then think, is he going to let us in or not? Is he going to let us in? Maybe he won't.
I got that technique from WizIQ. WizIQ, you could never get in until, you know, even if you're presenting. But anyway, I'm just kidding about that. I'm just teasing. The reason for that is so that if there's any disruption, we can move people to the waiting room. But there hasn't been any. So anyway, I just started using that to see what would happen. So anyway, I went to hear for Lorena. She's the only person whose voice we haven't heard tonight. I want to make sure and get her on the recording. She wants to talk about what's new in schools where she is. So maybe Lorena, you can. Hi, how are you?
Hi, everyone. Nice to see you again with this week. I was watching the recording from last week, and I was just amazed how much I missed out from, you know, because it was the first time I joined you all. So I missed so much information. So listening to the recording is really, really amazing. It was really helpful. Now, I'm based in the UK. I'm based in London. And this week is very tough here. I'm a bit, you know, not as chatty as last week. We are in a time of reflection, rethinking. And I just, there are very alarming numbers of young people calling the NSPCC for help in mental health. Children that have never experienced before any issues. Teenagers. As I think, learning at the moment should be really about caring. And I really emphasize this. You know, many people are thinking about the curriculum, not missing out. But actually, people are losing their loved ones here, their grandparents. So are we just going to resume school and carry on like nothing has happened? So I think that's so important to just listen, rethink. And I don't believe schools can resume as nothing had happened. We need to rethink. We need to rethink about the environment. How good we have clean air. I mean, people were dying before the lockdown because the poor air in London. Schools were closing. Children were not able to play in the playground in central London because of the air. So we had to widen the, you know, had to rethink. And we cannot go back to normal. Then that's very interesting thing in the schools at the moment. The schools are running for the minimum, you know, the people that are really risking their lives and going to work at the moment. And these are becoming small paradises. They're oases for these children. Why? Because they're small and they're caring spaces. So why schools are not able to run like this? And that's my question here. You know, do you think schools will resume and back to normal, or there should be a rethink? And I just want to pass on. Hello?
Yeah, that's a huge problem. I share the caring part with you, and which is why I keep Zoom for all my young learners. I teach in a junior high, ages 12 to 14. And they need, you know, Zoom just to talk to each other, to fool around. I let them fool around. They show me their rooms. They show each other. They start fooling around, and they need this. They need to be kids. And right now, they're not only are we not listening to them, and they're not being heard because they're at home, they're also, they're not playing. They're not being kids. They're you know, they're not fooling around. They're just very, very passive. So these rooms are really important for teachers to open up to their, I think every teacher should open up to their classes, but teachers are not, because I think a lot of teachers, at least the teachers that I know in my school, are in shock. And they're not opening up Zoom classes, even though the ministry has allowed them to open them up, because they're, I don't know, either they're afraid or they've just frozen up. They're not, they don't know how to handle or how to manage themselves in an online environment such as Zoom. So I think that we do require training, and I think that Lane is doing that and others are doing that, that's what we need to do. We need to help. And I think that we're all in a position here, we're all experienced with online learning to help teachers around the world, I don't know, to organize something. I think maybe Vince and Mike have ideas how to reach these teachers that seem to be, you know, frozen. They don't know what to do with their learners. And I'm specifically thinking of young learners because they're the ones that we need to look after right now in the education system, because they're our future. So even if you're not used to teaching young learners, I think it would help teachers if we could reach them and help them. Daphne, you've had a lot of experience. So people like you, you know, all over the world, to find out how we can reach these teachers so they can help the youngsters that need help right now.
If I can add something to that, if I can add something, I've been in touch with a wonderful man, Ian Cunningham. He's Dr. Ian Cunningham, and he founded the Self-Managed Learning College in Brighton. Now, they closed the building, but the college is working as normal, and the students are reporting that they're experiencing even a better experience than before. So this college has managed to switch effectively, and the young people self-manage the learning, and it's something that is switched online and is working beautifully. I was emailing, because he's really helped the you know, lots of my goodness, he's Ian Cunningham has saved lives in this country. And he's been for 20 years, this college has been open in Brighton. I will write it down in the chat. And this for me is model, you know, that's the model. And I think it's the future, and it will take a while because these young people are doing wonderfully well. And I really, they're saying, some of them are saying, actually, I do prefer this way of learning. I've never experienced it before. Because I don't really enjoy being next to other students sometimes. I need my space, and I could communicate so well. So they are benefiting, and they're really well. I mean, they are between 9 and 16, 17 years old, and they're really happy. So for me, this is a model. This is someone that can provide quite a lot of good information. This is a new paradigm in education he's been bringing for 20 years. Now in the UK, it takes a long time, the change in education. It's based in very kind of Victorian way of, that's my perception as an educator. So I think this person could provide quite a lot of wisdom on that at this time, that is quite desperate times for young people, to be honest. With young learners, I think we should really listen to home educators, because also the people over the world have been home educating for a long time. And it's wonderful. In, you know, that's the ideal time to experience, to read about this and to try at home. I think for a six-year-old, that's going to be more meaningful than logging in at 9 o'clock with a teacher and a school, unless they like it and they enjoy that. That's fine. But to be compulsory, I think it's a bit unfair. But yes, that's so. I'll write on the chat this information if it's helpful to anyone.
Okay, well, we're coming to the top of the hour. I don't know how important that is, but is there any final remarks or where to go from here? Oh, I might tell you, I got an email from Nick Peachy. I'd asked him if he wanted to do something for us, and he gave me a set of, looks like about half a dozen webinars. One of them is on preparing students to succeed online. Developing your teaching online, creativity in online learning, how to deliver a webinar, the one that exploiting video tasks, things like that. But the one that caught me, preparing your students to succeed online, because I think in a way that's What I'm catching from other people is that there, like you said, there's chaos, and that's what's really caught a lot of professors or teachers off guard. I think it's just the, you know, they have to train students, which is not really what, that's not their subject. And there maybe should be something, somebody responsible at educational institutions for making sure the students meet certain standards for entering classrooms online. But that's not being done yet. But I don't know if there are any thoughts on that. Is that a good thing that Nick should talk about if we get him to come online?
Everything is good, Vance, but what I would like is to get the teachers to come online. See, most of these online venues and I guess days, whatever you want to call them, meetings, are with people who are already online. You don't get many newcomers to come, unfortunately. How do we get them? How do we get the frightened teachers, the ones that are stuck in their homes and don't know what to do, how do we get them to come online? That's what I've been asking myself.
I think what you have to do is get the early adopter at each program or each school and let them herd their own cats. So, you know, they don't know us, so we can't reach them. But if we can reach one person out in each program or district, maybe that person can gather their people and keep, you know, make it like a wave or a turnkey.
Well, I must confess, I'm a failure at that. I've been trying for about over 20 years to do that, and I have not been able to. So, it is failure on my part.
We have a Facebook group in Tallinn, and people are joining every day, probably 5 or 6 people a day, maybe 3, maybe, to be honest. But anyway, but every day, every time I look at it, there are more people who want to join. I think there are 24 people in the group now. And I asked you if you'd noticed anything different about the sites. Anybody noticed anything yet? I'm not going to tell. Anyhow, anybody can go to tinyurl.com/Tallinn2020 and just add, you have to ask to edit, but that's granted to anybody who asks. And you can then go and, anybody can come and talk, and we really love to hear from teachers. So if you can encourage them to come on, that's available for them. That's what it's for. That's what I'm kind of devoting my month to is, you know, hearing from people. And it's not just that Michael and I are going to be online with B next Sunday at this time. And we used to do webheads on Sunday. That's kind of what we're coming from. Most of us are in webheads. So we used to do them on Sundays, but B didn't want to do it this Sunday because it was Easter Sunday. She had other plans. So, hi, Holly. Anyhow.
No,
Holly, you have to talk to us.
I would like to tell Nelly something.
Go ahead.
Yeah, she hasn't failed, 20 years. I understand you, because at my university, I was, I think that the first one that started with online teaching after Webheads, or during my first part in Webheads, actually, that I was working on my doctoral dissertation. And it was difficult for me to get the teachers to want to learn and or to go online, even blended learning that didn't want to. So, Arnold, I don't know if you remember Arnold from the Netherlands.
Mute, please. Some noise. That might be from your house, Daphne, is it?
No.
I'm alone here.
Yeah.
So Arnold Murem from the Netherlands, he told me, you don't have to look for the people. They will have to look for you. When they need it, they will look for you. Don't make it hard on yourself, because I felt that I was failing, because it was my university, my people that I have known for many years and that I had worked with. And actually, it was like that, because many years passed, and with all the problem in Venezuela, with the, you know, the political situation there, teachers are leaving or have been leaving the university to go to other countries. And now the university doesn't have teachers. And they are asking all the teachers that used to work there to help from abroad. And these teachers want to learn how to teach online. And I've been asked a lot how to do this, how to do the other, and that they have been contacting me. And same here in Spain with teachers that I have met since I've been here, that nowadays with this confinement, and they have to be teaching their students, they have reached me for ideas and platforms to use and activities to do. So it's a matter of having them know that there are people there for help, to help them. But don't feel bad, Nelly.
Yeah, no, I would just add that I saw all of the teachers that I was working with just flip with this COVID. And I mean, my colleague said, yeah, well, I did that Moodle course 3 years ago, but I, you know, there was no, she had no need for it at that point. And she's just put the whole lot on Moodle now because it's necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, it was extremely frustrating all these years of saying, do it.
When the learner is ready, the teacher appears.
And everyone, I wonder if this is crazy. I mean, talking about the Facebook group and thinking of the Facebook group as something that's larger than the webhead, so we kind of help it to grow, so it's reaching out to all teachers everywhere. Maybe we could advertise a kind of almost a 24/7 Zoom service. That is, we have a roster where each of us takes an hour every now and then to be there if anyone wants to drop in and say, how do you do this stuff? And whether it's not, I mean, is that a crazy idea that the webheads could actually sponsor not a 24/7, although there was enough takers, maybe we could, but a regular period of every day where people can drop in and ask questions about how to do stuff.
It's a nice idea. And you know, Steve Hargadon is doing that.
Okay.
That in that link I gave you with the shared document, there's something there about his 24/7 Zoom service. Now, I don't know if he's still doing that, but we could look it up. But that would be hard to organize, I suppose. But Michael, I like the idea. You can see what you can do. And I'm sure it would be welcome. We'd all try to help how we could.
Well, I'll explore that link. I think that's coming up. Yes, this is my cat back to say hello. One of our cats.
That's a clue for what's changed about the Talon site.
Yeah.
You really want us to go there now, Vance?
No. It'll be there.
I can see after.
WebEd's an online convergence. Three of them. 2007, 2009.
I think Michael has a great idea. But I'm happy to do it, you know, my piece of the 24, but what I'm getting here, I'm in the US, and what I'm getting here is, I give them a suggestion. I was on the phone yesterday with someone from Utah. I never heard of her. I said, how do you hear about me? She says, oh, people say to call you. I don't know what that is. But anyway, I've never been to Utah. Anyway, I give her suggestions and she would say, oh, we're not allowed to do that. They won't let us do this. They won't let us do that. And apparently there are a lot of rules. I'm not in K-12, but for children, a lot of rules. I think someone put in the chat earlier that they're not letting, in some places, not allowing webcam communication. And for English learners, that's the worst. I mean, the English learners, which is what we're all interested in, the language piece, the nonverbal is so important, the webcam is so important. So what do I tell the poor ESL teacher, you know, just adding that as a caveat?
doesn't mean you don't pass on the advice. I mean, if they can't act on the advice, that's in a sense not your problem. But I feel the same kind of pain that Nelly was talking about. And Nelly, I have exactly the same feeling of, it was almost 20 years in the game of trying to get other people, other teachers in the areas where I worked to get online. And we got, I don't know, a third of the population, a third of the teaching population online, the 70% no. And I rate that as a failure. So despite what you say, Daph, I think that was very wise to see it that way. I did actually come out of it thinking ultimately I failed. Not I, but we as a profession failed to make it clear enough to people that it was really necessary. And of course, it's ironic to be here now and think, had this happened 10 years ago, well, people would have been banging our doors down to get the skills. But anyway, that's not what happened.
Well, the other thing I find is that most of the questions are tiny little pieces, like quick question on Zoom, how do I do this? And I answer them, but they're not looking at the pedagogy piece, and they think that it's all about just take your classes, whatever you do, and figure out how to do each little piece with a tool of some kind. So I try and explain it, you know, you can't, you know, online is different in a substantive bit, very different from the inside. And that's my other webinar I'm doing on Fridays. It's not about tools at all. I don't mention it. I talk about what it's like teaching and learning online. How does it feel? Why is it different? And how can you be who you are online? And people aren't interested. I did it last week and there are only 7 people there. So I'm gonna try and do it again.
It took us years to learn all that. Years.
But you know what I do? What I do is, Vance mentioned at the beginning, I've created online courses, free online courses on a Moodle site. And they're learning, they're feeling it. They're getting that feeling. Because if you do just a virtual class, no matter what you do, you need them to be involved. You need them to be doing the class. Instead of you doing it, they have to be doing it. And what they're doing now is they're teaming up. I've organized it so they team up. They're teaming up and they're giving their own classes. So it's not me talking about it. I mean, talking about it hasn't worked for me for the past, it's actually 27 years. It hasn't worked for me. So what has worked for me is this teaming up on the Moodle, getting them to try out the tools. And, you know, it's actually throwing them in the water and having them teach each other how to swim. And that's what they're doing. And I'm so amazed by it because it seems to work. You know, it's a lot of work on my part. You know,
so
getting it
failure?
There.
No failure. I don't hear the word failure like I did before.
Well,
I hear the word success.
Well, the failure is with my teacher, the teachers, my colleagues in the schools where I work. That's where the failure is.
Oh, I
mean, I've succeeded with the world, with, you know, students from India, teachers from India, teachers from South America, teachers from Europe, a lot of European teachers, but not teachers, you know, for my school. They
But you're never a prophet in your own land. That's what it's saying, right?
Exactly. And that's where the failure, as far as I'm concerned, that's why I feel that there's failure.
I found, I put something from Lucy Gray in something she had, I just found it in these sites that I've set up.
She's great. The Global Education Conference, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's something else that she set up here. This one is a Bitly thing there, the Daily Connect. So okay. I'm not sure how that's going. I heard about that a couple of weeks ago, but I think there's something there with the schedule, and I think that's part of where they're trying to stand ready to. They do have a Zoom chat room open. Maybe if you go to their Ning sites, like Learning Revolution and things like that, we might be able to find more. But the Daily Connect could be a way to connect.
Yeah,
with
I signed up for that. You know, I signed up for it. I got accepted and everything, and I don't feel like doing it.
Well, you're doing so much already. You know, you're teaching with love.
No, there's something about I don't know. There's something about, I don't know, it's just my thing, but there's something about the business aspect behind some of these, you know, making the most out of this opportunity. Let's make them, you know, let's make money out of this.
Well,
that kind of turns me off. Sorry.
I'll tell you a little story. And this is that with the conference they're putting on right now, there's a conference going on now until the end of May, I think. It's, if you go to learningtogether.pbworks.com, root around in there, you can find it. But Steve Harganen is putting it on, and I think Lane was a part of it. Lane was one of the presenters.
I gave one last week. I'm giving one this week.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that's what is that conference?
Learning Revolution?
Learning Revolution. Yeah. Okay.
It's April. Yeah,
that's the one.
Now,
yeah, that's April, the one.
I didn't get a sense of commercialism there at all. I mean, you submit a proposal, they accept it, you give your session. They do have a place to say if you need compensation or if you are sponsoring to click some other link. So there must be a commercial piece to it, but I don't get involved in any of that.
When they first announced it, they said, Steve Harganen wrote that if you wanted the recordings, it was free to attend, and the recordings would be $99 if you wanted access.
Well, I didn't know that.
Now, I wrote him, and I said, Steve, what are you doing? You know, I mean, this is...
I didn't know the recordings cost anything.
I don't think they do, actually. That's later in the story, but basically he wrote me back. He's kind of irritated in a way, saying he'd gotten a lot of feedback about that. So I'm not sure if... But right now, if you go to the site, you want to hear Lane's recording, it's there. You can play it. You can link on it. It's there for free. So I don't really know if that's happening or not. But anyway, but that there is that kind of thing. But the way Steve explained it, he said, you know, he's really involved, maybe to a much higher level than we are. I mean, the kind of thing that he must be awake all night, you know, and he and Lucy they do have a commercial aspect to what they do, but they do a lot of free things as well. And I hope this is one of them, you know, so... I was a little hesitant to present at this because I like to have access to my recordings, but anyway, they're there. So, and they're on YouTube. So I guess you could, I really don't know. I don't know what's going on with it, but.
It's just a feeling. I mean, I think what they're doing is great, and they are paying for the 300. Steve was telling me they have a 300 attendee Zoom. They have these rooms and they cost money. So, you know, you have to, you can't just give away money. You do have to be able to pay for the bills. I mean, pay your bills if you're paying for it.
The Nings aren't free.
No, I'm talking about Zoom. The Zoom.
Yeah, Zoom
the Ning is not free either. Yeah. For 300, it's not free. It costs quite a bit for 300.
You've got several of them.
Who has?
Steve, the Learning Revolution.
Yeah, exactly.
All the different sites that...
Anyways, that's his income, you know, that he doesn't work like, you know, like I do. I mean, I work at I have a regular job, but he doesn't. So, you know, you got to make a living. So that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just the question is whether I want to be involved with it or not. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, it's a balance, isn't it?
I feel guilty.
Anyway, guys, we're going to be back here next Sunday. So if you want to join us next Sunday, Lane is on tomorrow. She's going to come and talk to us and I hope talk with us. And anyway, it's a flipped learning thing. So you should try to watch your video. All that information is there at the on Learning Together. And also if you go to Talon, learningtogether.com, tinyurl.com/Talon2020, you'll find links to all the presentations that are coming up. We and Carla Arena has offered to talk to us on the 17th, but she didn't put a time, so I've been in touch with her about that. But anyway, we'll let you know. But anyway, all the information is there, and the links to the recordings are there. So they're all archived at learningtogether.net. Speaking of Learning Together, this is Learning Together episode 448, and this is the 13th of April. I bet you thought I was going to forget about that. 2020. And we're Talon, Teaching and Learning in Isolation, WebEds in Action, Learning Together. We're just all over the place. And Nellie's Teaching with Love this month. What does it stand for?
Live Online Virtual Engagement.
Well, there you go. I like it. That's a good acronym.
LOV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where's Michael? Did he pop out? It's getting late in Australia. He's my
co-host. It's getting late where you are too.
Well, it's not that late. It's dinner time, put it that way. I'm getting looks from the kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah, she's sort of making the smells, you know, more obvious.
I can smell it.
Yes, I thought you might. Okay, Sandeep, nice to see you for coming, and thanks for, you've done a very good job muting. I know he popped out for a minute, he came back in, and then his microphone came on, and that's what caused a little problem. He's being very well behaved, everyone is, and we really appreciate everyone coming here, and nice to see you. Pop by Talon 2020, tinyurl.com/Talon2020, and you'll see what's going on. And if you want to present to us, if you want to schedule yourself or, you know, anywhere between 2 a.m. UTC and 2 p.m. UTC, I'm available. And I'm not doing much of anything else this month. So nice to see everybody. Bye-bye. Signing off. Bye-bye on behalf of Michael Coghlan, co-founder of WebEds in Action. Bye-bye. Nice to see everybody. Let's see. I always go for the top of the screen to turn off the recording, and it's down at the bottom of the screen. So here we go. Okay. I'm stopping the recording. Bye, Chris. Bye, Susanna. Bye, Daph. Nice to see you again.